Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, good morning, Apex. So glad that you've joined us today for our service. And we are continuing our series, Let's Go. Today, I'm delighted that Sava and Wendy Tomlin are with me. And they've said yes to that invitation from Jesus, Let's Go, on many times on their journey. And today, we're going to hear a little bit, a part of their life story. Welcome, Wendy and Sava. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
It's good to have you guys in our in your home church.
Thank you.
But you've been supporting some of the local churches in our area as well over this last few weeks. How's that been for you guys?
It's been great. We've been to Oasis Church in Elgin last weekend and we had a great time there. Great people, great church. It's been good. Wendy enjoyed it as well.
Yes, we're in Bucky shortly.
Oh, yes.
That's my first husband's home where he stayed. James came from Bucky, from the Yardie, so I'm going to home territory. So we're excited about that.
So you are heading up the coast, and you're just covering the Moray Firth.
Yes.
Being a blessing up there, and of course being a blessing here in church life as well. And you guys, many people will be familiar with you, but there could be some that there may be your new voice to them. But Wendy, you've been part of the church journey from inception. You've seen so much of what's happened.
Founding
member. And you were there, you saw with your own eyes some of those major faith steps that your parents took. And as we look at this series of Let's Go, and we're looking at that pioneer spirit, Pastor Simon and your mum, Mrs. C, they encapsulate that whole thought of being a pioneer and Let's Go.
Yes.
I guess you witnessed quite a lot of that. Can you think of moments in your journey where you were inspired by that?
Well, we were brought up to believe God for everything. And when I was just a little girl, my mum used to pray for food to come in because my dad was out in faith and we didn't have any food many times. And my mum would just pray. She would gather us at her knee, Philip and myself, and she would just pray that God would send somebody with food. And the times that people came with a bag of food or a load of fish or anything at all, and we were always blessed to know that if we prayed for things that God would meet the need. And so early days I saw faith in action in my parents' lives. My dad, of course, my dad would jump off a cliff. My dad didn't worry. He would jump first and then pay later. He didn't have any fear of jumping. And so I did my apprenticeship under them and been very blessed to see God moving in tremendous ways, in small things, in big things, through prophecy, through the word from God's word, from any angle that God challenged us, and we were told just to follow, believe God.
I mean, it's always inspiring to hear some of the stories that your mum or even Pastor Neil will tell during sermons. It's just the acts of faith that your dad really took. Can you think of any moments where even you were a bit surprised that, oh my goodness, we're going here, this is what's happening?
Well, we owned the land out at New Hope Trust, and as a family we had pioneered a work there, a charity there. And my dad always felt like he wanted the land around. And it was 57 acres more. We owned 3 acres and he wanted the 57. But I always felt that God laid in my heart, don't ask for something more until whatever you have now is perfect. So I remember weeding the whole 3 acres on my hands and knees, everybody saying how stupid that was, the waste of time, you know, me and my knees. But I always felt that if you want something from God, make sure that what you have already in your hand is in good condition, it's kept well, you service things well, and you take care of it. And it wasn't very long before a man came knocking on the door one day, and he said to me, are you interested in the land around the acreage? And I said, well, yes, of course. He said, well, have you got a pair of boots? And I just put on my boots and we walked around the whole acreage. And my dad, of course, whenever my dad was abroad with Philip. And whenever my dad heard that the man had come offering us if we were interested in the land, of course, my dad just took the step of faith. And he didn't tell my mum, but he put my mum's house up for collateral. And he borrowed, he'd gone to the bank and said, we're buying the land and we need 180,000. It was 3,000 an acre. We're going to buy the land. And of course, he didn't tell my mum. Wow. But God, on the day before he came home, and just before Christmas, he received enough money to pay the whole £180,000 to pay that land. And so I've seen big miracles. I've seen the miracles of fry a fish, but I've watched through many hair-raising experiences that all-night prayer meetings, praying for morning, for money for the tarmac Adam, for roundabout, and all kinds of silly little stuff.
So great man of faith, yes. And obviously a hero for you. How has that shaped how you've approached life and ministry and maybe being an inspiration or example for you?
Well, some people are dreamers and some people are followers. And I've been privileged in some of the avenues of my life, I've just been a dreamer. Now, I wasn't very good with the practical side, but I could dream. And I've been grateful to be surrounded by people who could take my dream or take the dream that God had given to me, and they made it come to pass for me. And it's been a wonderful experience to see God doing great things and amazing. I mean, it's a lot to go into tonight, but yeah. I could tell you lots of fantastic stories.
Yes. Not only have you seen things happen here locally in Peterhead, but obviously being in Romania. Mm-hmm. Now, Sava, you came to Peterhead and you guys met here in Peterhead. Can you tell us a little bit of your story? Because to come from Timișoara, Romania, to Peterhead, it's not a normal journey, really. So no, it must have been quite a story that you got that invitation. Come on. Why did you say yes?
Well, it's interesting because, it is a combination of situations, actually. First and foremost, when we were invited, I remember Pastor Neil came with his brother Philip to Romania almost 30 years ago, next year. So it was 1993. And asked the pastors of the church if they would have any young men to send over to the Bible school. So I remember our pastor sent me and another friend of mine. But at the time, I was in love with the pastor's daughter. It was a very interesting situation because whenever I found out that he's sending me, it felt like he wants to get rid of me, you know. So now I don't know whether that was the intentions of their heart or it was something else. But it felt like they wanted to get rid of me. So that was one element of it, you know. But there was another element of it is I had a prophecy about a year before in my first year of Bible school in Romania. So this person that prophesied to me said that God is going to use me all over the world, speaking words I've never spoken before and singing songs I've never sung before. And he's going to use me all over the world to spread the word, to spread the gospel, to be an influencer for the kingdom. Yeah. So I thought to myself at the time, that's a bit huge, you know. I mean, I didn't even leave Romania. It was 1993. I've never left Romania once. So it was kind of impossible. So when the opportunity came, I accepted the idea because I was curious. I'm always curious. So I thought, well, you know, it's an opportunity. So I put, I remember I came with two suitcases of clothes, and that's all I had. Well, I was, 23 at the time.
$50.
I had $100 in my pocket, though, so which our pastor gave us, you know, so which we were very grateful. So this is how we came. It was an opportunity. The New Hope Bible College were looking for students from Eastern Europe. Okay. So this is how we came. But it was now I don't know where the pastors, when they send us, meant it, to get rid of us or whatever. But God has a way of working things for good. Is the story of Joseph. You know what people meant for evil, if they did, because you don't know the intentions of people. You know, but God worked out something great. Yeah. You know, so this is how I came. You know, I mean, I remember, both pastors are great people, great men of God. You know, so Looking back at that was the context of me leaving Romania and arriving in Scotland. But funny enough, watch this. I came to Scotland to be the head to learn English. Uh-huh. Now, out of all the places in UK,
Peterhead.
Yeah. Peterhead.
Well, to be honest, your English is very good. For learning in Peterhead, your English is very, very good.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
But so God just used that situation to get you here to Scotland.
Yeah.
And then obviously everything that happens here in your time. But there came a point where God was calling you guys together to go back to Romania. Now, that must have been a journey for both of you. To go back and maybe to go to leave everything here. Quite a journey. And maybe you should explain that for folks. Well, but you said yes. I think that's incredible, yes. Knowing all that you're going to
share.
You said
yes. First of all, I said yes to Wendy asking me to marry her.
Uh-huh.
Then I said, Wendy, if we're going to be together, you have to come to Romania because God wants me to be here for this time. Mm. And then she said yes to me. Uh-huh. For coming to Romania, so
that was a deal.
Yes.
Well, that was the deal.
That was a deal. I've learned in my lifetime that if you don't have your own vision for a while, maybe you can't see clearly what God wants you to do. Well, I was always taught in that period of time, find someone with a greater vision than you have, and follow that person. Put your whole heart and soul into helping that person. Yeah. Fulfill their vision, and then God will give you a vision of your own. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a vision so much for Romania, but I trusted Sava's vision to serve God. And so I took a chance, took everything that I had in that little car, and left with Sava to go to Romania. And that's 13 years ago
I'm
now.
Laughing because when we moved to Romania, I never had a vision. I said.
Well, you told me you had a vision.
I said, this is the place where I have to be for this time.
Yes. Yeah.
I didn't know what for.
Uh-huh. No.
I mean, but we left, so so I came over to Scotland. So then, we got married. So for 4 or 5 months, and then we went in January 2009. We went to Romania, and I still didn't know what for.
Okay.
Things.
Wow.
We thought it was something working for some churches or something, but it didn't work out that way. So I remember we had night speaking. You remember August 2009?
Crying. Speaking.
Yeah. Well, she was crying, I was speaking.
So as usual, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed.
So I remember speaking to 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So we came to the point where we realized, just a second, we got to do something of ourselves. Mm. So I didn't know still what. Maybe start an organization of some kind, mm-hmm. of some sorts, or starting a church. And then I said, I remember one morning at 5 o'clock when we've been up all night. So I remember talking to her. We were in bed just talking and just couldn't sleep, because whenever you know that something happens to you, God calls you to something and you don't know what that is. There is no peace. You don't have peace. There is always, you can't have peace because you are looking for, you are searching. It's like you need to know, because life is not worth living unless you know. Life is not worth living unless you know what that is. And then we realize, and the moment I said we have to start a church, and then we accepted and decided to do so, it was like, peace. It's like when we left Scotland, it's like we were going not knowing what for. Mm. It's like Abraham left, when God called him, he left Ur, and the Bible says he was going not knowing where he was going.
Yeah.
So this is the journey. Mm. I mean, God calls you and you step out. Where? I don't know. You just go.
Yeah.
And that's the point. Sometimes we want everything planned, laid out. You want to have the people for the church. You want to have a salary, a wage. You want to have everything laid out, planned. And then you are going because it's a calculated risk.
Yeah.
No, in my experience, it doesn't work like that with God.
So you guys both, even not knowing what was going to happen when you got to Romania, still says that's where we need to go, and you said yes.
Oh yeah.
Not everything in place, not everything making sense. Just get there. And even when you got there,
she asked me, do you have a job?
No. I said to him, do you have a job? He said no. Do you have any savings or money? He said no. I said, well, what are we going to do? He said, well, I don't know, but I just know that God has called me here. And I just, I must have been, looking back, I must have been crazy, because I just felt that God would do something with us. Now, what it was, I couldn't tell.
But you know what? It felt right. No, yeah. I'm serious. Yeah. And you know what's weird about stuff like that? I had peace in my heart.
Come on.
And we had peace. I mean, I don't know. Did you have peace in your heart at the time?
Well, I don't know about peace, but I was trusting God and believing God that he was going to use us. Mm. I didn't know how. I was in a foreign country. I couldn't understand the language. I didn't have... The way that God works, I've been working in Romania since just after the revolution. My dad went with a party over to Romania with humanitarian aid. Yeah. And in the last, well, in all these years, we've been there over 80 times taking trucks with humanitarian aid. Mm-hmm. And I've been there, as Mrs. Smith, of course, and I'd been there. Sava was our liaison. He went ahead of us and found projects for us to work with. And so I'd been there, I'd met all the pastors, I knew everybody as Mrs. Smith, but I never ever dreamed that I would be there living, married and living there. And so,
As somebody else,
in a different life altogether, in a different role. Actually, I used to be sending parcels to people, and I used to be glad when people would send me parcels.
They did actually.
Some people knew. And so for God to turn things around, but God had already planned my life by allowing me to know all the pastors knew me, and all the people in the churches that had received partials for many, many years were able to say, well, we know this lady from before, but I still didn't have any close friends. And I didn't know how God would ever do that. And he laid on my heart the ministry of Breakfast with Wendy. Yeah. And we worked on that.
A great ministry.
And then sometimes 90 ladies or 80 or 70. And every month we had them for 8 years. We worked together with young couples, marriage counseling, and in marriage classes. And lots of different opportunities came our way. But we didn't have, at the beginning, with nobody and nothing, just Sava and me.
And we were afraid when we started.
We were afraid.
See, this is the thing. The fear, the fear is real, and it's okay to be afraid before you start something. But if you don't start it, if you don't assume responsibility for whatever God is calling you to do, if you don't face the fear, you'll never experience the journey.
It's feeling the fear but doing it anyway.
Doing it anyway.
And that's the difference, isn't
it? And it's like actually, I enjoyed the journey more than the destination.
So tell us a little bit about that, because obviously you guys... get there and things start opening up and you get that point where we're going to plant a church. Now, planting a church is sounds really easy, but it's not. You guys can testify to that. And I'm sure there were many challenges along the way. There must have been a lot of moments that were very exciting, a lot of moments to celebrate and enjoy as well. Can you tell us, because often sometimes when people look at taking a faith, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. Well, and there is a cost and a sacrifice. We've spoken about it already.
Of course,
But it's an adventure as well, isn't it?
Yeah, every moment is exciting. So there is no... let me say this. Nothing, happiness or feel-good moments never produced great art. Sacrifice, pain, suffering, misery. I kid you not. If you look at any artist that produced any kind of art, out of suffering, misery, sacrifice.
Poetry as well.
Any art, any art. So, it was hard, but when you assume responsibility for that task and you own it and you are going to do it, the journey is so rewarding. It's unbelievable. Of course it's hard. People misunderstand you. You are misunderstood. People don't know what you're going to do. You don't know what you want to do. I mean, you find what you want to do step by step. And then people misunderstand you. People don't know what you want to do and does that. So then, I remember I had, but I'm a kind of a planning guy. So I remember whenever we decided in 2009, in about September, we decided that in 2010, in the 10th of October 2010, we're going to plant the church a year before. And then I came across a book, Planting Churches on Purpose. I can't remember the name of the writer, pastor from, I can't remember now. So And that book helped me a lot because I prepared, I worked about 3 or 4 months to prepare the philosophy of the church, the vision statement, the everything, the word philosophy, you know, who we are, what we're going to do, how it's going to work, you know, you got to put it on paper, 4 months, and then we launched it online on 31st of January 2010, we launched the church online.
Just him and me.
So in the first year, we wanted to put together a group of 10 people to launch the church on the 10th of October 2010. So it worked. So I've done vision nights, auditions for the praise and worship team. You name it. I mean, we were on Twitter, on Facebook. I mean, we were making so much noise. We were so working at it. We put together a team, and then we launched it on the 10th of October 2010. And then 325 people turned up.
Oh, wow.
We were excited.
Wow.
We were very excited. And a friend of mine calmed us down and really burst the bubble. And he said, listen, he was preaching for us that night. He was speaking. So he said, this won't be every Sunday. I said, well, thank you. Which he was right.
Yeah.
The next time we met, we were 20.
Okay.
But we were more than 10.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So it was challenging. Oh, man. Uh-huh. I believe, don't run away from God's calling. Don't run away from whatever you are just about to do. Don't be afraid. Do it, because otherwise you will live a miserable life.
But even what you said there, Sava, is that often it's the journey where we find out step by step. And a lot of times people maybe are hesitant to answer yes to that call, let's go, because they want to know the destination, the outcome first, before they say yes to that. Now, you guys, after 10 years, have transitioned the church. It's in a healthy place, new leaders.
Running
with it. And you're part of the year, you're back here in Scotland. But you guys are still saying yes. You're still saying yes to that invitation, let's go. Why is that?
Every morning when I get up, every morning when I awaken, I say, God, make me willing to do anything to help anybody today. Anything. Mm-hmm. I've discovered that you can't ask people to do what you're not willing to do yourself.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And I've discovered that if I put myself about to help people, then people are willing to help me.
Come on.
Even practical stuff. I was always, as a boss, I was always willing to wash the toilets or to clean, you know, do anything, hoover it, anything at all. Mm. And I believe that in the mediocre things, God proves you. And I've always been conscious that God would do with me as long as I'm willing to do whatever he asks. And so both of us together, we're a practical pair. Mm. We decided to come home to Scotland because my mom's growing a little bit older, and we wanted to spend as much time with the family as we can. And so God opened that door and we came, and we're open here to do whatever. We want to be involved in this church. Yeah. We're in the house group here. Mm-hmm. We're ministering to people that are calling us for help. And actually, you know, God, there's no place with God. God is here, he's there, and he's willing to use those who are willing to work with him, alongside him. And that's just what we are. We're just willing to do. And if we're called to preach, we'll preach. If we're called to clean or to paint or to do, we're practical. Yes.
Wonderful. And so what would you say, maybe somebody who's watching right now, how would you encourage them to make that choice to say, yep, let's go?
Well, the reason we are unfulfilled, unhappy, live a meaningless life, and is because we don't assume responsibility. We don't want to be responsible, so we want to live a free life, you know, I mean, which means no responsibilities, and that makes us miserable. But assuming responsibility, there is meaning in assuming responsibility for whatever. Assuming responsibility for getting married, assuming responsibility for going to a house group, assuming responsibility of a task, that brings fulfillment. You see, happiness is not a goal in itself. We all want to be happy, but pursuing happiness in itself is not a goal. It ain't gonna happen. Happiness, it's a byproduct of assuming responsibility of something. And that thing, taking care of somebody, makes you happy. I don't know, singing a praise and worship band, if that's something that you wanna do, makes you.
be responsible for something. Be responsible. And that's what's happening. Anytime you don't want to be responsible for anything, not me, not me. You know what? Show me a miserable person. I will be miserable if I don't answer God's call. I don't want to be, I remember speaking to Pastor Neil. And I remember when we were talking about visions and calling and everything. And I said, we were talking about going to Romania, I remember many, many years ago. So I said this, I don't want to be 70 looking back and wondering what if I had gone.
Yeah.
How would my life would have turned? Wow. What if? I don't want to do that. What if?
Yeah, never living with that sense of regret of what could have been or what if.
And there are opportunities.
Taking the opportunity. Yeah.
And there are opportunities every day. Yes. I mean,
your life small. Start small.
Your life will change. Just take one.
Yeah.
Prove yourself in the small
Let's
stuff.
Go. Take it. Go for it. Yeah. Whatever it is. You want, I mean, get a mortgage. You know, be grow up and be responsible. Yep. You know, I get a job. Be responsible. There is fulfillment in that. Make an investment. I don't know. Have kids. You know. You know. Get a better car. You know. It's being responsible. Yeah. And there is fulfillment in that. The journey is amazing.
And it's saying yes to the small things and the big things. Not just waiting for the big things to come.
No.
It's
no.
every day no. saying no. yes. Hey, there's probably people watching this today and maybe they find themselves in a situation where they know maybe God is leading them or calling them. Could you pray for them and just ask for God to give them the courage to say yes?
Yeah. Amen. Let's pray.
Dear God, we are here in your presence and we pray. We first of all, also want to give you thanks. We want to give you thanks for everything you do for us, you do in us, you do through us, Lord. Thank you for calling us. Thank you for giving us purpose. Thank you for giving us life. Thank you for calling us into this journey of becoming. And we want to be more like Jesus. We want to become, we want to be better every day. We want to be better human beings, better people, better husbands, better sons, better wives, better employees, better business people, better every day. We want to be more to do more. Lord, I pray for everybody who is watching us today, wherever they are. And I pray that you give them the courage to assume responsibility for their own lives. Give them the courage to assume responsibility for something in their lives, to be more in order to do more, Lord Jesus. Give them the courage to say yes. Give them the courage to embark on the journey, to make the step, and their life will unfold in so many ways, in so many wonderful ways. God, I pray that you give the courage to everyone that is watching today to make the choice, to choose something, because not choosing is a choice. And today, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that you lead everybody, speak to everybody, Lord Jesus. Out of misery is being responsible for something. Out of unhappiness, out of lack of meaning, of unfruitfulness, is being responsible for something, saying yes to you, saying yes to opportunities. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Wendy and Sava. Thank you for sharing with us today. But thank you for being people who have said yes along the journey and having that pioneer spirit, and you're an inspiration to us, so thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you for having us. Thank you. We enjoyed it.